copy of the reading this morning. It comes from Acts 2, starting at the beginning. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all of those who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears in our own native language? Parthian, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judah and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them talking, declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun and said they've had too much wine. The fellowship of the believers, starting at 42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions and gave to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved.
Thanks, Izzy.
Acts chapter 2. And please, have your Bibles open. I've asked the people at the door, the welcomers, to ask everybody to have a Bible, whether it's on the use of physical Bible or your phone or whatever it is. I like people to follow along to what we're saying. Now, in the church calendar, today is called Whitsun, Whit Sunday, or the day of Pentecost. And you know, it's almost forgotten in many churches around the world, around in England, that this is an important a spiritual day in the church calendar. It's overlooked. And another day that's overlooked is the day of Ascension. Did you think about it? It was last Thursday, wasn't it? It's important because that's when Christ was taken from this earth physically, visibly, as the disciples watched him go into heaven. It shows that Christ is alive and in heaven. And he, by sending his Holy Spirit as a promise to all believers, is Pentecost. And we want to remember that. Sometimes Pentecost is referred to as the birthday of the church. Now, the Jewish people had many holy days where there were festivals to commemorate events of their walk with their life with God. There was a weekly Sabbath. That was so important for the Jewish people. That was so important in God's eyes too. He gave them the Sabbath. No other nation had this, and it was for them that separated them from other nations. They were given that for their benefit to rest, just as God gave them the example. There was a new moon, the Sabbath year. Not only was the people to be rested, but the land was to have rest as well. And it was because the Israelites had disobeyed that command was one of the reasons that they were taken away from the promised land and sent to Babylon so the land could have its Sabbath rest. That's, you find that in 2 Chronicles right at the end. There was the year of the Jubilee when God gave people the freedom who were imprisoned. Their debts were delivered. Wouldn't that be great? Think of all the debts that you've got. And on the 50th year, they were taken away, and you could start off afresh. I think we'd like that. Well, if we have debts. But those of us who who don't have debts, and you know, those who give out money, they wouldn't like it. But that was God's way, because everything that we have comes from God. That's another subject. We won't talk about that. There was the Passover, which was a day of remembrance. When they remember that God delivered them from slavery and brought them into the promised land, delivered them from the Egyptians. There was the what have I got? Trumpets? Where am I? Yeah, unleavened bread. That's where I am. Yes. That was at the same time. And there was the first harvest. There was the Pentecost, the festival of trumpets, the day of atonement. That was when the high priest went into the Holy of Holies to sprinkle the blood on the altar. And there was a day of the festival of shelters, the day of Purim. Now, that was started in the days of Esther, when God delivered them from Haman, and they wanted to celebrate, and they celebrate that even to this day. And then there was a Hanukkah, and that was started during the time of the Maccabees. Now, these days were set aside for the Jews for a particular reason, that they could have rest, that they could celebrate, they could have fellowship one with another, they could rejoice in feasting to remember what God had done for them in their lives. And you know, we have things like this today, but I think we've secularized them. In those days, it was called holy days. We call them holidays, don't we? We got the weekends. It's a holiday. It's a day of rest. Well, I suppose some people work harder on the weekends than they do during the week, during running around and everything. We go away on breaks, and we call it a holiday. We got Easter and Christmas. And what do we call them? We call them holidays. We seem to enjoy the rest and the feasting and the getting together. But the remembrance of what God has done for us is often forgotten. And in the list that I've given you here, there are three festivals, which are sometimes called pilgrimage festivals. Now, this is when the Jewish people would come from all parts of the country and the world, known world, to go to Jerusalem to celebrate. And these were important. That's when loads and loads of people came surrounding Jerusalem, because that's where the temple was situated. And the first one was the Festival of Unleavened Bread, incorporating the day of Passover. This was when the people were to come there to commemorate Israel's departure from Egypt. And they were to have bread without yeast, and this would be eaten for 7 days with the whole assembly on the first and the last days. And this was a started the day after Passover, which was the 14th day of their first month, which is our April. It's a feast that was movable, because Passover goes along with the full moon of the first month. And you read about that in Exodus chapter 12, verses 1 to 20, Exodus chapter 23, verses 14 to 15, Numbers 28, verse 16 to 25, and Deuteronomy 16, 1 to 8. And then there was the harvest of weeks, or Pentecost. That was 50 days after the first harvest, and at the end of the grain harvest. Now, remember Passover? I mentioned that. I'm jumping back just a bit because something came to my mind. That was when Jesus was crucified. And that was when lots and lots of people were in Jerusalem. God wanted the people to see Christ there on the cross, to see Christ risen from the dead. It was a very important thing, and God wanted as many people there in Jerusalem to see that. It wasn't done in secret. And the same way with Pentecost. It was a thanksgiving and the covenant renewal with the celebratory offerings of new grain. And we read that in Exodus 23, verse 16, not 6. And verses chapter 34, verse 22, and Numbers 28, 26, and Deuteronomy 16, 9 to 12. And again, this is when people from all over the world came to Jerusalem, and that was when the Holy Spirit came down upon the people, and the men and women with power preached the word of God, People were saved and went back to their homeland. It was almost as if God had planned it so there'd be lots and lots of people there. Well, he did plan it, didn't he? But it was just one of those things. And then they got the shelters, the festival of shelters, which we don't even think about, but I suppose the Jewish people still do. It celebrates the final harvest or the end gathering. And this happened in their seventh month, or our September and October. This is a celebration of the last harvest of the year. It was a pilgrimage festival to commemorate Israel's living in temporary shelters. And they were required to build shelters outside their house, and they would live in it for a period of time, just to, again, to recall those wandering years that they had in the wilderness. And that's in Leviticus chapter 23, and particularly verses 33 to 44. And proper Jews today still do that and to celebrate that. Now, as you can see by the reading of these passages, these were times for celebration, a time for remembrance, a time of rest from all work, a time of getting together and rejoicing. But of course, in the very part middle of this, the center of the whole purpose was the remembrance of God. Look at a map here. Today is Pentecost, 50 days after Passover, and the Jewish faithful were gathered together again in Jerusalem. What happened there was a fulfillment of the prophecy from Joel chapter 2 and the words of John the Baptist and from Jesus. And you can see there on the map how people come from all over. And there must have been a real mixture. So what happened on that day? Well, look in your Bibles. Follow along on chapter 2, verse 1. And we read that the 120 disciples were together. They were praying. They were meet. They met regularly after Jesus assembled that way. And then all of a sudden there was a visible experience. There was an audible and a powerful sound. Luke describes it like a violent wind. And of course, when that happened, it attracted the attention of thousands of people that was in the city. And as the Spirit filled each believer, they began to speak in a different language so that the people from all over the parts of the world could understand what they were saying. And they were hearing them and said, these guys are speaking Italian or Latin. And they're Galileans. How could that be? They couldn't understand what was happening. They were really questioning. But it was attention. And it got them stopping and listening. You know, I sometimes wonder, was it... the logistics bothers me sometimes. And how did they do it? The guy says, this guy's speaking Latin. We'll go over there and listen. Or this guy's speaking another language. Let's go over there and listen to that one. Or just, how did it happen? I don't know. Was it a miracle in their hearing? What kind of language did Peter preach when he stood up there with the 11? Was there translators? I don't know. But the people, the important thing is that the people heard what was being said. And they understood it. And it caused them. They were amazed. They spoke the wonders of God. They questioned. Even some people ridiculed. Now Peter, the guy that you know was afraid of a servant girl, stood up with the other 11. And he spoke God's word with power. And Peter preaches about Jesus, his life, in verse 22. He told all about Jesus, how he grew up, what he lived, the things that he did. He was a real person. He spoke about the death of Jesus in verse 23, where he was crucified and he was buried. He spoke about the resurrection of Jesus in verses 24 to 32, proving from the Old Testament that Jesus couldn't stay in the grave, that he had to be risen, had to be alive. He spoke about the fulfillment of scriptures and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in verse 33. And he preaches about Jesus as God's anointed Messiah. What a sermon. Good one to follow, isn't it? What was the people's reaction to all this from what he was saying? Well, the Bible tells us that they were convicted in their hearts. They cried out. They said, what have we done? They wanted to know, what can they do to make things right? And Peter gives two commands. In verse 38, he says, repent, turn from your sin, and be baptized. Prove that you believe. Show it. Don't just say it in your head, but really make that commitment. And then he gives two promises in verse 38 as well, that they would receive the forgiveness of sins and that they would receive the Holy Spirit. What a tremendous thing. When one repents and be baptized, they receive forgiveness of sins and they would receive the Holy Spirit. Not just for them, but for all who would call upon the Lord, as we see there in verse 39. And what was the result of his preaching? 3,000 people believed and were baptized. Wow, what a baptismal service that would be. But it was tremendous. Instead of 120 believers, there were now 3,120. We call this Pentecost Sunday, the birth of the church. Now, what did the church in the New Testament do? We go to verses 42 to 47. They devoted themselves to it. They didn't just dabble in the church. They didn't just play at it. They just didn't do it on a Sunday morning. But they devoted themselves. They gave themselves wholeheartedly to the Lord Jesus Christ. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. And you know, I would like to think that we do this every day of the week, when we read our Bibles, when we study God's Word, when we come here on a Sunday morning to hear God's Word preached. They devoted themselves, not just listening to it, but they actually did what is being said. As you read your Word, the Bible, every day, as you read it, don't just say, oh, I've done it, I ticked it off. But do what the Bible says. Don't be just hearers, but doers, as James said. They devoted themselves to fellowship. Now, that's not just a cup of coffee or tea or water or a biscuit, but sharing with each other, as we read in verses 44 to 46, meeting in homes and giving to those in need. Fellowship is a deep thing. Fellowship is so important, and we don't have it, we hurt. And the Christians there, they were together. They were of one mind. When one hurt, they all hurt. When one needed something, they supported that person. That is what fellowship is. I like to think that we do that. Actually, it did happen this morning to me as well. I was out there sanitizing my hand, and I pressed that thing, and it, instead of going on my hand, you know, like a straight on my... It did. I thought, oh, no. What am I going to do? So I... and Graham, there he is. He said, Wayne, if you can't get it off, I'll go home and get one for you. Isn't that caring? I went into the kitchen and washed it down, and someone said, use a towel, proper towel. So I used a proper towel, and you can't tell too much. But, you know, that's the way the fellowship should work one with another. To the breaking of bread. We've done that this morning. It's another word for communion. It was a command that Jesus told us to remember him in this way. And the people dedicated themselves. It was something special. Because as they took communion, as they broke the bread, as they were at the Lord's table, whatever name you like to call it, they were remembering the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's not forsake it. Let's be dedicated when we come to the table each time. And to prayer. It says they dedicated themselves to prayer. Now, we're going to be doing that tonight at 6:30, aren't we, Uzi? Let's hope all of us can make it there to really pray. Prayer meetings are so important. The disciples, as you read through the book of Acts, you find that they prayed and prayed and prayed. And we want to dedicate ourselves. In some ways, you know, in a church, you say, well, Wayne, we're doing this as a church, yes. And a friend of mine once said, in St. Ives, we were doing well. We were really blessed. And he said, Wayne, yes, God is blessing us, but we can always do more. And you know, that's the same thing here in Plantation. I think God's blessing us. God has blessed us, But we can always do more. Let's keep devoted to doing God's work. And you know, when they did this, God added to their number daily. I like that word, daily. As you read there through the book of Acts, it starts off with 11 people, and then up to 120, and then to 3,120. In chapter 4, it mentions 5,000. And in chapter 5, if you have the King James, it mentions multitude. They couldn't even number them. There's that many people. God adds to the church as we devote ourselves to Him. You know, the church isn't a building, but a people that God uses. And as may His Spirit use us as His Spirit used those 120 people. Just as those men and women went out of the building that they were meeting in and told the people the wonders of God, so must we. You know, as nice as our building is, and it is a nice building, it really is nice. It feels good to be here. It feels natural and right. But our command is to go out. Share the good news of Jesus. Now, some people are going to mock us. Some people are going to laugh at us. Some people are going to say they're fanatics. They're crazy. But there'll be others who will question and want to know, what is this that's happening in your life? Show us. And we've got to be ready to give an answer to the hope we have and to tell it with gentleness and respect. May God anoint us like He anointed that church there on the day of Pentecost as we go out, that we might glorify Him.